sermon for this week is titled Remembrance Day. The scripture reading is Psalm 144, 1-8. Praise be to the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. He is my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield in whom I take refuge, who subdues peoples under me. Lord, what are human beings that you care for them, mere mortals that you think of them? They are like a breath, their days are like a fleeting shadow. Part your heavens, Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains so that they smoke. Send forth lightning and scatter the enemy. Shoot your arrows and rout them. Reach down your hand from on high. Deliver me and rescue me from the mighty waters, from the hands of foreigners whose mouths are full of lies, whose right hands are deceitful.
There are several days on the calendar that are extra special. Many people in this world see Remembrance Day as a day full of mixed emotions, some with great sorrow and pain because of loss of loved ones, whether it be someone who gave their life during World War I or World War II or the Korean conflict or Vietnam or other skirmishes throughout the world. And Remembrance Day today is also very special for people who have lost lives recently in places in Europe and other places throughout the world. It's a day when we stop and we remember those people who have given themselves for us. Psalm 23 became a daily recitation for soldiers in World War I and World War II. And King David, who wrote Psalm 23, was certainly no stranger to war. And now, many hundreds of years later, Psalm 23 remains a comfort for millions of people when facing distress and personal battles in times of conflict, in times of war. It was interesting just doing some research this past week when the Vietnam War was on. There were a number of people who let the Army know and let all of us know that when their loved one was at war, every day they read aloud Psalm 23. Every day they prayed for their loved one. And every day they recited the Lord's Prayer. Because there's something unique when people who live in North America are praying and loved ones, whether they're in Vietnam or some other place, are also praying. Prayer is something that unites not only us with God, but unites us with each other. And I think I have forgotten that over the years, that when someone stands before us and prays, we listen to the prayer, and we say, that's a lovely prayer, thank you very much. But when someone is praying, if we join with them in the prayer, as if we're saying the prayer as they're praying along for us, it's a reminder of what soldiers prayed in all the conflicts, knowing that their loved ones were praying for them as well. And so today, I just want to spend a little bit of time talking about Remembrance Day and how important it is. I'm going to ask you to participate with me this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to read aloud Psalm 23, and then we're going to remain standing, and we are going to recite the Lord's Prayer. So if you would, please stand. And we're going to read Psalm 23. I know we all have different versions of the Bible. This is an NIV, Psalm 23. Let's read this together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness. Even though I walk through the valley, shadow of death, you hold evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Amen. Let's say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but forgive us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Just a brief message today, because I don't want even the message to take away from the importance of Remembrance Day. In Psalm 63, and as you go through the Psalms, there are a variety of Psalms that are striking, especially when it comes to war. Even though David was a wonderful king, he was also a king at war many times, and he would often refer to various Psalms. He would write these various Psalms during some kind of conflict in his own life. Psalm 63 is not a very popular psalm, but I was reading it this past week and noticed how significant it was. And if we could picture ourselves maybe even thinking of someone in a battle, going through a battle, and it may not be necessarily a war, but a personal battle, a distress battle, a battle that all of us maybe have gone through once or twice or many times in our life, where we feel like we can't eat, we can't sleep, we can't think, we're so muddled, we're at war with ourselves even, and we're just asking for God's help. Psalm 63 says this, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. Have you ever felt that way? My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. And then this, on my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. How many of us have experienced that? Where sleep doesn't come because of anxiety, because of pain, because of a loved one being away or whatever it is. But it just grabbed me of all the stories we've heard over the years, whether it be World War I, World War II, the Korean conflict, Vietnam War, whatever, where the soldiers, men and women, were camping out at night, knowing the battle was going to happen the very next morning. How well do you think they slept? And here, the writer is saying, I remember you through the watches of the night. I'm praying for you. And you can just imagine how often the Lord's Prayer is used by people who may not have ever even considered themselves a religious person, but they knew the battle was going to come. And all of a sudden, life becomes extraordinarily important. And maybe I never really considered God or the Lord's Prayer or whatever else. And now all of a sudden, there are prayers like this. God, I'm not a praying person. You know, I don't really pray very often, but when I was a student in school, every day we would recite the Lord's Prayer. So here it goes. But that's an honest prayer. I'm pouring myself out to you. Remembrance Day is to remember people who have poured themselves out, blood, life, intellectually, and spiritually, pouring themselves out for God and the benefit they think of fighting in this battle. And David knew that well. And so it says, on my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. And here's why. They who seek my life will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God's name will praise him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. See, sometimes the Bible isn't such a sweet and gentle, lovely, soft reading, is it? Sometimes it's just so powerful that it grabs us. And Remembrance Day is not just some kind of fleeting thought. It's a reminder, and some of you here know this, of loved ones who didn't come back and who gave themselves not just for what they thought was right, but they gave themselves for us. We know that story with Jesus, who gives himself constantly to us and for us and gave himself for our sins. So on Remembrance Day, there's just a multiplicity of thoughts that run through this, remembering people who gave themselves for us, even though they didn't know us. This past week, I saw a couple of photographs on Facebook that I had never seen before. I never knew what my great-grandmother looked like. And I saw her for the first time on a photo. I didn't know what my grandfather looked like. I never saw a picture of my grandfather on my dad's side. Now I know what he looks like. And to me, it's just so interesting that as years go on, we think of the generations that will follow. Remembrance Day is important because people gave themselves for us, even though we were not yet born. They gave themselves for us, knowing that people from their family, sons, daughters, grandsons, granddaughters, are going to have children and children and children, and there's this legacy that we're all part of. And so there are people who have given themselves for us, who long passed, even before we were born. Does that make sense? So what I'd like to do now is read a passage of Scripture found in the book of Hebrews. And I will say to you, there's a warning attached to this. Even though we read it fairly often over the years, I wonder if we are ever really grabbed the gravity of how horrible this is, that there were people who gave themselves for us even though they didn't know us. And sometimes they gave themselves in a horrible way. Warning, there is strong language. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I want to start reading in verse 36. Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 36. It says this. Some faced jeers and flogging while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith. Now watch this. Yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. It's amazing to me how people would give themselves in such an amazing way, a horrible way, but they gave themselves for the next generation. And then there's one other passage in 1 Peter chapter 1, if you want to follow in this, 1 Peter chapter 1. And I think there's somewhat of a surprise in this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 9 through 12 says this: For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you, us, searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. And here comes the surprise. I bet we never realized this. Do you know that you and I are in the Bible? That the Hebrew writer wrote about us. Verse 12, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. Someone said, well, wait a minute. That book was written a long time ago, and it was written to the people who were reading that book. Mm-hmm. And now many generations later, we're reading that same book. We are in the Bible. They gave themselves for us. It was revealed to them, certainly because of Christ, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. And then it says this, and this is the greatest part of this. Even the angels long to figure this out. Even the angels long to look into this. They can't believe it. They can't believe it. That even the angels go, wow, amazing that God would give all of himself to us in this way. So as I conclude today, and we're going to not really conclude, the sermon has kind of a part two to it. I'm going to finish up and then Earl will proceed. In Luke chapter 22 is a unique reading that we've read many, many times before. It was once said by Jesus, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome this world. And then in Luke 22, these very familiar words. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. And after taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread and he gave thanks and broke it. And he gave it to them saying, this do in remembrance of me. This do in remembrance of me. Remembrance Day.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.